97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Beau Matthews.
Present.
And this is this week's podcast exclusive. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast. If you didn't already hear this week's radio show or download the radio show podcast, you can do that when you're done listening to this. We had a great show this week. We talked to the sheriff from Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak. There is a lot going on in this world regarding law enforcement and gun rights and all of that. And we got deep into a conversation with Sheriff Marshak, who is brilliant when it comes to use of force and, you know, policing and these situations that have been in the news recently.
The police job has not changed other than more occasions or more things that we're hearing about in the press. The press, I think, is what's changing about the law enforcement. The press and the reporting.
The law enforcement and the politicians.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I think it's the media and the politicians.
Law enforcement wakes up every day and says, I've got to do my job.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. We also talked to a young lady named Taylor, who is one of the poker bashes. Beau's got a poker bash coming up, and she is a scholarship award winner from your guys' organization there, the event that you put on. And she has both of her parents are police officers, and it was really insightful to hear from her perspective, being the daughter of two police officers and what it's like to live that lifestyle. Very humanizing. Thought it was really, really good.
And of all the stories that she picked to share,
yeah,
was the one where they had a false alarm of an active shooter at her school.
Yeah.
And
her parents were in the school.
They were looking. They
responding were responding to what they thought was a shooter.
But of all the thousands of stories of her life, you know, having parents as cops, it was amazing. So if you haven't heard that, the radio show that aired of Second Amendment Radio, go back and listen to it and share it. Share it with anybody you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very powerful.
So we spent a good part of this week's radio show talking about law enforcement and the Second Amendment part of this show. So we're going to spend the podcast talking about the great outdoors and fishing. And that is why we are having our good friend Steve Jawar, the owner of Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood, which they've been a part of this show in the past as sponsors. And we've talked to Steve on the air many times. But Steve is an avid fisherman. What's the next level up from avid? Is there one? Because if there is a next level up from avid, that's what Steve is.
Addict?
He's
obsessive.
Obsessive. There you go.
Good.
There you go. And so Steve is on the phone with us right now, and it is great to talk with you, my friend. I know you have been doing a lot of fishing very, very recently. How's the start to the season for you been?
Well, it wasn't as good as last year with COVID. We were able to get out a lot, my nephew and I. I've been out a couple times this year, and I'm on the water this weekend as well. I took a couple days off. But, the fishing is, at least the three times that I've been out at Lake of the Ozarks, the fishing's been great. The water is a little muddy. It's in the high 50s, 50 to 57 degrees. And a lot of the coves and whatnot are still very, very muddy. So I haven't even made it back in the back of the coves. We've been catching them on the secondary points and main lake points. The lake is busy, Tony.
Mm.
Bo, there's a lot of boats out there. The coves we've been in, we can't even go in the back. We went in your cove, Tony. Where your place is, and we couldn't even go all the way in the back because there were like four or five boats back there.
Wow.
So, but we've been catching bass and crappie. And we have not found any white bass, but we've caught some nice crappie and some decent-sized bass, sure.
Well, I've got a question for you guys, Steve and Tony. Where does your history begin? Did you meet him at the bakery, or did you meet him at the lake? Tony, you don't even have an answer. He's trying to put it together.
Well, we met because of the bakery.
Right. That we were a sponsor on the Glover Show, and we actually, Max was our celebrity, sponsor, so to speak. And then Max left. And when I used to come into the station, Tony and I would spend a lot of time talking about fishing.
Yeah.
And so when Max left, Tony offered to pick us up to do our ads.
Yeah.
And
what a guy, right?
That's kind of how it started. And you know.
So yeah. And it's been a beautiful history ever since.
So have you fished together?
Well, we've been out on the boat together.
Yeah, right.
One night we were out, and Tony was kind of showing me some of his spots when we were both up at the lake at the same time, which, you know, is like two ships passing in the night.
Yeah, right, right.
But I, you know,
we've never had a chance to fish together. We have been on the boat together, but we didn't get a chance.
Sounds
to fish.
Like he's the guy you need to go fishing with.
I'm telling you what, I mentioned this on the show. Between Steve and, of course, Mike Marfell, who is a professional that we talk to on the show all the time, I could listen to these two guys talk fishing all
and
the time.
And my guy, Brian.
And just learn by osmosis.
Yeah, Brian, the creek guy.
Yeah, he's
a great fisherman
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. So, Steve, is it, you said it's been good, it's been a good start to the year. Are we in full swing yet, or is the best still to come? Like, when's your favorite time to fish, or is it almost the whole season? Does the activity go up and down, or does it just go up and stay up for the whole season and then go down in the winter?
Well, fishing on Lake of the Ozarks, I think, this is just my opinion, I think it's good all year round.
Yeah.
But you do need to look at different places at different times of the year. My favorite times are the spring and the fall, mm-hmm. because the big ones do come up in the shallow, you know, obviously to spawn, and then in the fall, you know, to feed up for the winter. So this is really my favorite time of the year, you know, to fish. Right now, you know, you have fish doing everything right now. There are some on the beds, and they're spawning, and they're getting ready to spawn. There's some still on the points and the main lake points. There's just so many fish, and there's only so many spots to spawn. So they're kind of, you know, like aircraft here or airplanes coming into an airport. You know, they're constantly staging and moving in and out. And so you can really catch them this time of the year in a lot of different places. It's just great. You know, it's a great time to fish.
You did say, Steve, last year was fantastic because of the COVID shutdown. There were less people moving around, and it's almost like it probably felt like you had the lake to yourself. But as we have survived the long, dark winter we were threatened with, and there's going to be more people at the lake, do you feel that discourages good catching, a good opportunity? Do the loud speedboats zipping by, does that affect? I've had this question with Mike Marfell about stereos in your boat. Do you play the radio while you're fishing, or do you not? Does it make a difference, do you think?
I don't. I mean, we try to be quiet because, you know, the vibrations. But to answer that, Bo, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that claim, you know, depending how you, if you're fishing real deep, you know, they're not going to really hear those. You know, we try to, you know, be quiet. We don't play the stereo. The boats are a problem, especially in the summertime. You know, on Lake of the Ozarks, you know, they have these huge cabin cruisers, and they'll mm-hmm. drown you in a little bass boat.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you can find places on the lake to fish. It's going into, you know, there's a lot of coves that are wake-free. You know, there's a lot of places you can fish. You don't have to be on the main lake channel, battling the 6-foot waves.
So if you were to go out right now, Steve, and as people are listening to this, there's a chance you might be on the water as they're hearing us.
I am.
If you were going out right now, what would be the first thing you would do? What would be the first lure you would tie on? What would be the first type of spot you would go to if somebody said, I need you to catch a fish in the next 15 minutes, what would be your best, how would you give yourself the best chance to do that?
Well, with the cloudier, muddier water, I'm using a real bright bait, like a chartreuse, and I like using real small crankbaits because I have mm-hmm. the best chance to catch bass or white bass or even crappie. So I'm using the real saw. We go small on Lake of the Ozarks, and once we find the fish, then, you know, you can throw spinner baits or larger crankbaits. But for searching, we use real small little 2-inch crankbaits. The deeper, the better, you know, 6 to 10 feet, you know, type crankbaits. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm going, I'm trying main lake points. I'm trying the secondary points and trying to get a little further in back to the spawning areas, you know, if it's not too crowded and if, you know, if I can get in there.
What square bill, round bill?
Yeah, the square or round. You know, just something that, you know, that 6, 8, 10 foot, you know, crankbait, little, the smaller the better. That we just had a lot of really good luck. And, you know, even around the docks when you're fishing with those, you know, a lot of times you'll catch white bass or crappie, and those are fun too. I mean, Lake of the Ozarks has huge crappie. You know, your cove, Tony, where your condo is.
We're very lucky yeah. that it's a nice hot spot. We see guys in you know, sponsored boats and sponsored uniforms going into our cove all the time that are participating in tournaments. So
yeah, it's
you want to give that
yellow.
Out? You want to give nice. That address out or
nope,
no?
Sure don't.
No.
Yeah, well, you're asking Steve for all his tricks. Come on, Tony, give it up.
Everybody's got their own spots.
Can I just say that? Okay, so I've been working remotely a lot on this show from my home studio, mm-hmm. but being in the room. When we were talking about law enforcement and all that stuff, the look on your face is one way. But when you're talking about fishing, Steve, I'm going to tell you, this guy is lit up like he's a 14-year-old kid going on his first date.
When I used to come in there, Max would look at us and, like, you know, shake his head. Because all we were doing was talking fishing.
Yeah.
I thought I wore my emotions on a sleeve. Tony, I think you're...
I'm taking notes. Why? Because I plan on getting down to the lake soon, and I want to know
what to do. You got to have passion. If I'm not making the best bread, I'd rather be fishing.
Yeah, right. What your opinion, first thing in the morning or dusk? What's the better time?
I like first thing in the morning because it's still a little quieter and... You know, there's not as many boats out. There is a lot of tournaments on Lake of the Ozarks. So, you know, if you get out early, you know, it's better because, you know, by midday, you know, Lake of the Ozarks routinely has 4 or 5 tournaments each weekend. And it can, you know, it can get crowded.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. What was it like last year? You said already in the few times you've been on this year, it's been busy. Last year, the lake was crazy. Because of COVID, and, you know, so many places were closed, so people were just getting out on the water. Do you expect it to be that way again? And is that a big negative to the fishermen out there, or does more action mean the fish are more active? Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, more competition is certainly, you know, I mean, it pounds the lake a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I think we've kind of adapted. You have to adapt to using different things. You know, you can fish behind another fisherman and still catch fish, you know, as long as you're throwing something different. If you're throwing the same thing that the guy just, you know, threw two boats ahead, then, yeah, I mean, you know, those fish may, you know, be sensitized to that. They may not hit that. But if you're throwing something different, that's why we're always watching the other fishermen too, to see, well, if they're throwing a spinnerbait, well, then I might want to come down with a, you know, a crankbait or a Carolina rig or something else.
All of us think like that. For some reason, I'm just in awe, man. That's fantastic.
All of us think like that. Steve, we got to have you back on again as the year goes on and continue these conversations. Maybe get Mike on here and some others and have a little fishing roundtable discussion.
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be a whole lot of fun.
Tony, what we got to do is we got to do a
fish.
Podcast
oh, yeah.
on the lake.
Yes.
You,
yes.
me, and Mike.
Amen.
Hey
yeah, both. Bo can tape it.
Hey, I got a fishing pole for crying out loud.
Bo can come too.
Okay. Oh, thanks.
We'll bring the whole gang.
So, Steve, I'm a big fan of everything, of all the food, all the breads and cookies and everything out there at Great Harvest in Maplewood. I want to give you a chance to plug the business before we let you go.
Well, thanks. Yeah, Great Harvest. We are coming out of COVID, so we're just starting to, you know, we didn't bake as much in the variety that we did over the last year. We're just starting to come out with, you know, we're able to do more seating and have more customers come in. So we're just starting to kind of ramp up and get out of that and get back to, you know, our normal baking schedule. But, you know, we're known for making our, you know, whole grains. We mill our own flour on site with a stone mill. And as you know, Tony, you know, we make a pretty good pumpkin chocolate chip bread, and we're still making that all year round. Actually, we did some yesterday. But the bakery's in Maplewood. We're going on our 18th year, believe it or not. It's another passion that I have, and that's, you know, making good whole grain products.
And they are great. Yeah. I recommend everything at Great Harvest in Maplewood.
And congratulations on surviving this last year.
Yeah,
it's been an interesting year, all right.
Well, Steve, always great to talk with you, my friend. Hope to catch up with you again very, very soon, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about fishing.
Yeah, you bet. I love it. Before we wrap up, Bo, we started this podcast by talking about the radio show and the discussion that we had with Taylor, the daughter of a couple police officers, and she's a scholarship winner from the Poker Bash, but we never, on the podcast here, promoted the Poker Bash. So for people that want to participate, how can they?
Yeah, it's real easy. It's $50 if you sign up ahead of time, and it's May 16th. It's just a big, giant house game. It's not stressful. I mean, it's a competition. It's a good game, but it's Texas Hold'em. We've got great food. That's included in your admission price of $50. We've got open, you know, that includes your beer and soda and snacks throughout the day, and we've got a great silent auction that is second to nobody. We've got some great raffles thanks to Kodiak Equipment and Case and Bucks. They've donated three beautiful 22 pistols that we are going to be raffling off. We've got so much going on. Get signed up if you play Texas Hold'em. $50 before, $60 the day of if you can get in, which we'll get you in. And if you want to come spectate, a lot of people want to bring their spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend. That's $10. That'll include your food and your soda pop, and it's a great time. Eureka Brookdale Farms is where it's going to be on May 16th. It's a Sunday, and hopefully we can get a bounty on your head and you play that game.
Seriously. You're like, hey, I'd love to come out
there. If you're
in
town, and a lot of people are going, oh, it's the week before Memorial Day. I'm like, well, but there's...
No, I'll be in town that weekend.
Not everybody's going to be at the lake.
I know for sure that I'll be in town that weekend.
It'll be a blast.
Yeah, so that's great stuff. Support that event if you can, and... Yeah, I have an idea, actually, that I'm going to run by you off the air.
And by the way, it supports the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, which, by the way, I am the co-vice president of that event.
Ooh, yeah. All right, yeah. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah,
co-vice president.
I will start to...
Hey, I'll take it.
We'll start to refer to you that every time we talk to you. If you know anybody that enjoys these conversations like we just had with Steve about fishing or hunting or camping, hiking, law enforcement, the military, Second Amendment rights, all of that stuff, if you're listening to this and you enjoy that and you know other people in your life that enjoy these type of conversations, please let them know about us and please share our podcast. Let them know about the radio show. And we appreciate everybody for all the support of the show. I'm going to wrap this one up for producer Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews. I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.